You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So, if I make it there with all of this, it'll be impressive. I was gonna start out with maybe some mummy trivia, but it's kind of hard to do mummy trivia. There. So I was going to do like maybe a little mummy trivia to get us started, and I would say, hey, you know, what's that movie from like the 1920s that had the mummies in it? What was it called? And the answer would be The Mummy. And then it would be like, what's that movie in the 1960s that had the mummy in it? What's it called? It would be The Mummy. And then there's one in 1999 with Brendan Fraser, and it was called The Mummy. And then there's one with Tom Cruise called The Mummy. And so like, it doesn't work really well for, like, what's the name of that movie? However, here's a good trivia question for you, now that the song's over. Oh, it's restarting. We're just going again. Does anybody remember, back in the 80s, early 90s, there was a cereal that went with Booberry, Count Chocula, and Frankenberry? Does anybody remember the name of that cereal? Did you get a picture of me up here? Did it work? Okay. All right, good, because this is not going to last. Anybody remember the name of that cereal? There was a cereal called Fruity Yummy Mummy that lasted for like 3 years, and it was part of the monster cereals of Count Chocula and Frankenberry and Booberry, which are all really good for you. They probably contain butter. So that makes it a good thing. But yeah, so mummies, I'm not here to talk about the undead or coming back to life or anything weird like that. But what I'm going to talk about is the process of mummification. And I'm going to take this off of my... There, hear me a little bit better. The process of mummification, basically, as you probably are aware, the most famous mummy being King Tutankhamun, who was found in the 1920s, or maybe it was the 1910s. They found his mummified body. The Egyptians did that. And this embalming process, this mummification process, was to use linen or strips of fabric to wrap a body as a desiccant. And desiccant is probably a word you don't remember or don't recognize because you don't use it every day. But if you were to open a new pair of shoes, you probably will see a little packet that's in with those shoes that says desiccant, do not eat. And that's that thing that dries out the shoebox so that your shoes don't go bad. And so fabric was used as a desiccant, and it was absorbing that so that the fluid would leave, and then it would, you know, of course, hold the body for as long as that worked. But the way they did it, of course, is they would wrap the body from head to toe and cover them in strips of cloth to do that. And this morning, I want to talk about something similar. Okay, I need to take this off. Dwayne Johnson was also one of the mummy characters. I could, like, rip it off. Like, I guess Hulk Hogan ripped his shirt. But anyway, okay, so in your prime groups, you're going to get to have some fun this week, but I'll leave that up to you and your prime group leaders. But the idea of wrapping from head to toe is a word, come on, is a word that we're going to look at in the passage today. But we're going through this series called United States, and as we've been talking about... Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, wait, that's not from now. Okay. That'll work. Get it all off. Okay. So this series is called United States, and as we've been looking at for the last couple weeks, and we're in week 3 of 4, we're not talking about our country, even though we're having a little fun singing songs about the states, but we're talking about unity. And not just unity as a country, because obviously, you know, that election thing that happened a couple weeks ago certainly created some division. Actually, there was division before that election thing that happened a couple weeks ago. But the idea of coming together is important for our country. But I'm not even really talking about that as much as I'm talking about unity in our relationships and growing closer to the people that we care about. And each week we've been looking at some things. The very first week we talked about how it requires intentionality. If you want to grow closer in unity, it requires intentionality. You have to do things on purpose. You're not just going to accidentally get closer. And those people might be your spouse. It might be your family. It might be coworkers. It might be school classmates. It might be a neighbor, a physical neighbor. But you're not going to get closer by accident. It's going to take intentionality, doing things on purpose. And then last week, we looked at how growing closer in unity requires proximity. You're not going to be able to grow closer to someone or heal a wound or fix a problem from a distance. You're going to have to be near people. And the closer you are to people in physical proximity, the more you're going to grow in your relationships. And so today, I'm kind of taking it to the next, another level here, because we're in a little process here, and you'll see when we get to next week. But today's point that I want you to understand is growing closer in unity requires humility. Growing closer in unity requires humility. Now, what does that have to do with a mummy? Well, it has to do with this passage in 1 Peter chapter 5. So if you can turn there. And while you're doing that, if you have the YouVersion app, we're going to turn on the house lights. There you go. You can get a paper Bible. You can go to 1 Peter 5. It's at the very end of the New Testament, near the end. And if you have the YouVersion app, just zing all the way to the bottom. It's near the end. But again, we're looking at unity in our relationships and growing closer in our relationships. And as I said before, last couple of weeks, most of what we're talking about applies to followers of Jesus. And so most of the things we're looking at are for if you're a follower of Jesus, they're a follower of Jesus. These are some things you need to do. But these principles go beyond that. So even if they don't know Jesus, these are some things that you can do to grow closer to the people that are around you. And I wrote down this quote from Andy Stanley. I listened to him on something last week, and he said, "Selfishness leads to division, but selflessness leads to unity." And this idea of humility. So where does humility come from? Where does the mummy come from? It comes from the fourth word there. Peter says, "All of you, clothe yourselves." And the Greek word here, it means to clothe, to wrap, to completely surround yourself, to immerse yourself. And so just like mummies were wrapped from head to toe, Peter says we need to be wrapped with humility. We need to be completely covered, not mostly covered, as Tommy mentioned about the game we played in Jumpstart a few months ago, where we did this similar kind of game, and there was like just one big circle of toilet paper here. So that wasn't completely wrapped. That was just a certain part. And the word Peter used here is to clothe, to wrap completely. The Greek word, because this is written in Greek, it's enkombumai. Enkombumai. And we get the English word from that, encumber. And so Peter says that all of you, he's talking to followers of Jesus, need to encumber yourself, wrap yourself, immerse yourself with humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And this idea of humility is so important if you want to grow closer in your relationships. Because if you think you deserve, if you think it's your right, if you think that you are better, and all of those on some level, maybe not that you're better, all of those on some level may be true. You may not have been the person that did the thing that affected that relationship or caused that fight or caused that conflict. But that doesn't mean, according to what we're looking at here, it's not about us getting what we deserve, about what we've earned. It's about us saying, you know what, I'm going to demonstrate humility. And so he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So let's break this down a little bit. Peter is talking here in this passage, right at the first half of verse 5, chapter 5. It's finished up talking about elders. And we actually talked about that in our Churchianity 101 series, the very last week of that series. And we looked at the role of elders in leadership. And he's saying, you know, elders, it is your job to lead well, lead in the right way, lead in an appropriate way. And then the first part of verse 5, he says, to those that are under the subject of the elders, the people that are within the body where elders are leading, he says, follow their lead. So he says, elders, you need to lead. And people that are under the elders, the authority of the elders, follow their lead. And then he says this in the second part of verse 5. He says, but all of you. That's who he's talking to. So in this particular room, in this particular context, he is talking to Justin, Kirk, John, where's Chris? Chris, myself, and to everyone else that's under the authority of the elders, which is all of you. So his point is, this isn't about being in charge. It's not about being more important or less important. And again, if you want to hear more about that, you can listen to the Churchianity series. But he says, all of you, look, everybody, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. And so that's the first thing here that Peter says. He says, when it comes to being wrapped up, when you wrap yourself in humility, God will show you favor. See, Peter says everybody needs to wrap themselves in humility. Everyone needs to completely clothe themselves, encumber themselves, immerse themselves in humility, not only when it's convenient, or not when the spotlight is on, or not when you're in the moment where, it's not a big deal, but in every moment, even when maybe you deserve to be more, even when there's a spot where maybe you're right, maybe you are, you know, the situation is, hey, this actually isn't a big deal. But Peter says, in all situations, wrap yourself in humility. And so that's what the first part of the verse says. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility. And this word humility is used three different times in this passage. It's used as an adjective or an adverb, as a noun, and as a verb. Because Peter's like making a point. You need to be humble. You need to be people that put others in front of you. So he says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. So again, you get it? It's not towards most of the people. It's not, well, they're not really nice, so you don't have to clothe yourself in humility towards them. He says, all of you towards one another. There are no exceptions here. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. And this is crazy. He says, because, and he quotes from Proverbs chapter 3. He quotes from Proverbs chapter 3. He says, clothe yourselves in humility. Why? Because God opposes the proud. And if this was kind of like one of those youth group verses we used to always memorize when we were little. When I was younger, yeah. Or there was a song, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Maybe you remember that. It was around, and everybody would sing their part. And they'd be, oh, it all comes together. Let's add another part. And then somewhere we're rowing our boat, somehow rowing our boat gently down the lane. But it all came back together because we were, humble yourself. He said, why? Because God opposes the proud. And the word proud here is really cool. It's a Greek word, and it comes from two words. Where is it here? It says, literally, there it is. It means to shine above. He says God opposes those that think it's their job to shine above everyone else. The proud. He said God opposes the proud. And when I think about this, and again, if you know this verse, you probably just blow through it. Oh yeah, God opposes the proud. But have you thought about that? Like, think about the enemies that you have in life. The people that don't really like you or that you don't quite get along with, they might be the opposition. But Peter is saying that if you're proud, if you're arrogant, God opposes that. Like, and I imagine that, you know, it's a classic Bugs Bunny scene here where like, or Goofy, you know, Disney's like up against the other team. It's like Goofy's playing football and the other team shows up at the line and these guys are giant. Or maybe the Space Jam movie, the first one with Michael Jordan, where, you know, it was with the Monstars, I think was their name. And they were gigantic. Going up against these little scrawny Looney Tune people. Are you with me on this? And this is saying that God, if you're proud, you're going up against God. God is not a fan of that. So right there, that should be enough to be like, okay, you know what? That person over there, no matter how obnoxious they are, no matter how strong they are, no matter how much influence they have, they're nothing compared to God. So that should be enough right there. But he says God opposes the proud, but then says, but shows favor to the humble. The word favor, your translation may say grace. God cares for, God shows grace, God gives those that are humble more than they deserve. So if you're in a situation, and again, thinking about the context here, Peter is saying, if you're struggling with whether you should submit to the leaders or submit to one another or put yourself beneath them, he says, look, be humble because God is against those that are proud. And if you're humble, God's going to show you favor. You're going to get there. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm humble now, I should win $1 million. It doesn't mean I'm humble and I'm going to get that promotion. But he's saying that God is with those that are humble. And so if you want God on your side in your relationships, and I know we're not talking about sides, and this will make sense in a bit. But if you want God on your side in your relationships, he says, be humble. Peter says, be humble. If you're in a relationship and you want, you know, I want a better marriage. I want a better relationship with my kids. I really want to do a better job of caring for the people that work for me or work with me. Peter says, clothe yourselves with humility because God's with you on that. You've got God working you through that. And you might not get what you deserve according to your mind. But God is with you. So he says, when you wrap yourself in humility, God will show you favor. And then the second thing we see is that when you wrap yourself in humility, again, encumber, clothe, wrap, completely immerse. When you wrap yourself in humility, God will lift you up. And so Peter goes on and says, humble yourselves. Now here's the verb form. Humble yourselves. Oh, and the noun form is right there before it. God shows favor to the humble. The verb form of this word, humble yourselves. Put yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And so Peter's going, like, he gets it. Like, we jostle for position. We jostle for, oh, I'm right, you're wrong, or I deserve this and you don't, or you deserve this and I don't. And there's that tension, even in an amazing, loving marriage. You've got that tension there, because that's just the way we are, because as we'll see in a bit, if you didn't already know this, you're a sinner. And as we said last week, you're a mess. And the person next to you, they're a mess too. And so Peter says, look, if you want these relationships to get better, humble yourself under God, not about the other person, it's under God's mighty hand. Because then he will lift you up in due time. And this word, your translation may say at the right time or at the opportune moment or the right season. And what Peter is saying is that God's got a big picture here. And God knows the best time for you to be lifted up. And you might be thinking, and let's talk about maybe a job, okay? And there's a big promotion. And you know that you could say and do the things to get the other person that's up for that promotion to lose the promotion. You know, you could do some mudslinging. You could tell them about that time you saw this thing happen. You could make up something about an inappropriate relationship, whatever. And then you could lift yourself up. Look at me. I'm amazing. I deserve this. Which right there, you're proud. You're making the light shine on you. So therefore, God's opposing you. Dangerous place to be. But then you're deciding when it's the time for you to be the one lifted up. And Peter says, hey, put yourself under God's hand because God will lift you up at the right time. And if you lift yourself up, and again, I'm just kind of making up a story, but you get that promotion. Guess what everybody else in the business, in the company is looking for? They're looking to take you down. But if you say, no, I'm going to humble myself and just let God handle it, when the time is right, he will lift you up. And so he's saying, in our relationships, if we're wrapping ourselves in humility and say, I'm going to be humble, I'm going to trust that God's got this, instead of me getting my way and saying, I deserve this, and say, no, you don't understand what they did to me, I'm going to get better, I'm going to get what I deserve, Peter says, humble yourself and just trust God. Because God's already on your side. He's going to show you favor. He's going to give you preference rather than oppose you. And when the time is right, God's like, hey, I know you. I know your humility. And now is the right moment. Now is the time that I'm going to lift you up. And that's a promise. And so Peter says, when you wrap yourself in humility, God will lift you up. And it's under his mighty hand. I love that he said that too. Like, it's not under like, yeah, hopefully God can handle it. Hopefully it works out for you. There's no vague hope. This is God's mighty, his powerful hand. And so when God has decided, yes, you're in a spot where I'm ready to use you, he will lift you up at just the right time. It's the old Pirates of the Caribbean. Wait for the opportune moment. Isn't that what he said, the opportune moment? Is that what he said, the opportune time? Anybody with? Are you guys awake? Opportune moment, time. And that's what God is doing. Going to do there. And then Peter wraps it up. And this is really cool because, again, if you grew up like reading this and singing the song in youth group with the round, you probably don't even, this doesn't even make sense with the passage. But the third thing that Peter says is when you wrap yourself in humility, God will handle the details. When you wrap yourself in humility, God will handle the details. And again, this passage is usually pulled out of context a little bit, and it's not wrong. Things are definitely meant to be read in context. But Peter says here in verse 7 then of the same passage, he says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Talking about God. Cast all your anxiety, all your worries, all your fears. And that in itself can be used as a legit thing. God cares about you. You can cast your anxiety on him. But it's part of the context of this issue of unity and leadership. And what Peter is saying is, look, stop worrying about whether you get what you deserve. Stop worrying about that and just cast it on God. Throw it, that's what the word literally means, to throw it at God. God, I don't want this. I'm tired of this. God says, bring it. Stop worrying about it. Cast your anxiety on me. Why? Peter says, because he cares for you. He loves you. And so in context, he's saying, look, you don't have to worry about getting your way or what you deserve or being superior to the other person. You don't need to worry about shining the light on yourself. Just be humble. Just be humble because God is going to show you favor. God's going to be on your side. And then when you do that, God's going to lift you up at the right time. And in the meantime, between now and then, don't worry about it. Because God, the mighty hand of God, the God of the universe, cares for you. So he'll handle the details. You can cast your anxiety. You can cast your worries. You can cast your cares upon the Lord. Because he cares for you. We don't need to worry about our success or our rights or getting more or moving further up. What we need to focus on, as Peter uses three times, humble, humble, humility. We need to be humble people that cast our cares on him because God's got it. Clothing ourselves, wrapping ourselves, immersing ourselves in humility in our relationships. So when you wrap yourself in humility, God will show you favor. He's not going to oppose you. God's with you. When you wrap yourself in humility, God will lift you up. And that's, again, wrapping every moment, every circumstance, every situation. God's going to lift you up at the right time. You don't need to worry about it because when you wrap yourself in humility, God will handle the details. And so, again, we're looking at relationships. We're looking at the people around us. And again, maybe those are close relationships. Maybe that's a marriage. Maybe that's your family. Maybe that's your next door neighbors. Maybe that's people in your school, people you work with. Maybe just people you regularly see. Maybe it's people in this room, people that are a part of your church body. Because in our relationships, we need to clothe ourselves from head to toe, mummify ourselves in humility in all of our relationships towards one another. Because that's going to create unity. But if you're in the middle, in the business of saying, look, I'm better, look at me, let's shine the light on me, it's not going to fix your relationships. You're not going to get closer. You're not going to win if you're always right. And the crazy thing about this is that you might actually be right. But you're still going to lose. We talked about this before. I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was the Familying series, that's not on the slide, but we did the limbo game on the stage here. Everybody came up and do limbo. And the goal of limbo is to be lower than everyone else. And that's what humility is, to be lower than the people around you. And in your relationships, just the idea, I think, you were like, yeah, we should be humble. But like, think about it in the moment. Think about it when that conversation is, yeah, but you said, and that's why I. That's not humility. But you don't understand because I deserve. No, not humility. I have worked here for this many years, so therefore I. Not humility. Listen, I've been in this neighborhood way longer than you have, you punk kid. Therefore, not humility. It should be clothing, wrapping ourselves in humility towards one another. And if we do that, we're going to grow closer in unity. We're going to grow closer to the people. And this, as we said 2 weeks ago, this isn't an accident. This is intentional. And so you have to say, I'm choosing to clothe myself in humility. And clothing, wrapping, and meshing, and encumbering means there isn't an area where we're like, yeah, that one doesn't count. Because then we are saying, no, I deserve. And therefore, Peter is saying that God is opposing you in that moment. So growing closer in humility requires, growing closer in unity requires humility. So as I said, this series is not just about like, yeah, we need to be unified. People need to be unified. We need to come together and be unified. Our country needs to be unified. We need to be united as a church. Yes, those are all true. But in the relationships that you have right around you, the regular, real relationships. I mean, in a technical sense, you have a relationship with every person that you either do or do not come in contact with. But I'm talking about the people that are, you know, they're your people. And maybe they're your people and you don't like them because you have the same last name, but man, we don't get along. Or maybe they're people that you do care about and you want to grow closer to them. Maybe we're talking about friends that you're like, yeah, I just wish we could be closer friends. Or our relationship, we used to be good friends and things have fallen apart and I'd love to fix that. Or we've got this family member and man, that parent is just out of control. Maybe there's a coworker that you just, everything you do, everything they do just grates on you. But if you really want to grow closer, it's going to require humility. It's going to require you wrapping yourself, clothing yourself in humility. And so what I'm going to talk about, I want to talk about, I think, four or five things. Four or five things that we need to do in our relationships if we want to grow closer. Some ways that we need to demonstrate humility if we want to grow closer. And I'm going to read these passages, and some of you are going to be pretty familiar with these passages. Some of you are going to know these stories or the issues and be like, oh, I never really thought about it that way, because that's what I want us to do. I want us to think about it in the relationships that we have with that person that you said I do to, with that person that has your name on their birth certificate, with that person that sits near you at the lunch table or at the other end of the room because you don't want to be near them in the lunchroom, with that person that has the apartment near you or the person that has the yard that backs up against yours, the people that we have relationships with, if we truly want to grow closer, it's going to require this humility in relationships. And so there's some things that I want us to look at. And, of course, maybe even people in this room. Maybe there's relationships in this room that are not what they should be with someone else. What does it take to demonstrate that humility? The first thing it takes is to be sensitive. To be sensitive. These are things that we need to do. You need to be sensitive in your relationships with those around you and be humble in that, so that you can grow in unity. You can grow closer to them. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. He says, the first part of chapter 10 here, he's giving a history of Israel and talking about how many times they failed and all the problems that they had and how things didn't go so well and saying, Israel, Israel, Israel. And you could get to verse 10 going like, yeah, wow, they suck. They are such losers. I cannot believe how bad Israel is. God provided, and then they complained, and God led them somewhere, and then they didn't like it, and God did this for them, and then they weren't happy, and God miraculously provided food, and they wanted more. And we're going to talk a lot about that in a series called Stuck that we're going to do in January and February, going through the book of Numbers. But yeah, we'd be like, yeah, those loser Israelites, can they never learn? And Paul wraps up that statement by saying, these things happen to them as examples for us. Yes, you're right, Paul. Those people, they were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age, meaning we are closer to when Jesus is returning than they were, because that was, at this point for us, about 4,000 years ago. For them, it was about, 1,500 years ago. So 3,500 years for us, 1,500 for them. Anyway, but he says, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. Before you start pointing the finger, before you start saying how bad they are, how much of a problem, and oh my word, can you believe them? Paul's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If you think you're standing strong, be careful, because you could fall too. There's the phrase, but for the grace of God go I. If it wasn't for what God is doing in my life, I could be in that situation. And he's saying, if you want to demonstrate humility in a relationship, you can't be standing back going, oh, you are such a loser. I can't believe you reacted that way again. I can't believe that thing happened to you again. I can't believe you did this. Oh, you are so bad. And Paul's like, whoa, hold on. Because you could be subject to the same thing. You are no better than them. You are no different than them. You are just as much as of a sinner. And, you know, and we, in our culture, have picked out certain sins that are definitely worse than others. It's wrong for me to break into someone's house and steal something. It's not wrong for me to break the law by speeding. So those sins are okay, right? Like, how does that work? Like, and we've made these levels, and Paul's like, look, don't start pointing fingers. Because if they start pointing fingers, they could pull out all sorts of flaws that you have. And so in your relationships, if you're trying to grow closer, if you want to be humble, you don't look and say, yeah, you did it again, didn't you? Paul says, back off. Be sensitive and be like, you know what? I can see how that happened. We're not excusing it. We're not dismissing it. We're not saying sin's cool. We're saying, yeah, I can see that. I'm sorry. I get that. We talked about that a little bit last week. When you're in proximity with someone, you get to know their story a little bit more. And again, we're not excusing their sin, but we're able to go, I get it. Okay. And so that's what Paul is saying here. He's like, when you think about all these things, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Because you're no better than them. So if you're trying to grow closer in your relationships, be sensitive. Be sensitive to them. Because again, they could pull out all the flaws that you have as well. And that's not getting anybody anywhere. That's not humility. That's not clothing yourselves in humility. That's being proud. That's shining the light on you, saying, look at me, I'm better than you because I didn't stumble in that way. Even though there's plenty of things that we could do. So Paul says to be sensitive. If we want to grow in our relationships with others, we need to be sensitive to them. The second thing that we see is if we want to demonstrate humility in our relationships, it's going to require us to be reflective. And a lot of these, by the way, blend together. And so don't be like, today I'm going to do this, and now I'm going to do that tomorrow. Like, they're kind of all together. But this one is be reflective. Not only are you sensitive about their situation, but kind of reflect. Look in the mirror for a moment. Take a moment before you start saying how much you're better than them. Humility says, I'm going to look in the mirror. And in Matthew chapter 17, there's this verse, a passage that you're probably familiar with. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? And of course, a speck of sawdust is very small. He says, if you look at the speck of sawdust and saying, look at that speck you've got there, you little sinner. And pay no attention to the plank of wood that is sticking out of your own eye. He's like, why would you do that? He says, how can you say to your brother, well, let me get that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your eye? He says, you hypocrite. And that's one of the things people always level, right? Oh, I don't want to be a part of the church. They're a bunch of hypocrites. And I'll be like, yeah, they are. Welcome to the club. But Jesus is saying, hey, why don't we, before everybody just starts calling us a hypocrite, why don't we be reflective for a moment and be like, you know what? I'm not saying that I've solved this issue. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. But I do see this in you. And here's the thing about this, right? And we talked about this in the crop series, and this is on the slide before and after. We talked about this, the phrase that people use, don't judge me. And actually, what's interesting about this is Jesus says, first, take the plank out of your own eye. He says, reflect and say, okay, before I start talking to you, before I start cursing you out about how bad your language is, he says, take the plank out of your own eye. But he says, first, he says, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So Paul isn't saying we're not supposed to judge one another. And we're going to talk way more about this next week. And the way judge is like, oh, don't judge me. That word is so like, okay, whatever. Let's not use the word judge. But he says it's okay to be talking to one another about the issues we have. But reflect on yourself before you start, before, not instead of, not don't talk to your brothers and sisters about the sin issues you see in their lives. It is our job to call out those issues. But don't just go in with a plank in your own eye, going like, hey, I need to take that speck out of your eye. We need to be reflective. Look at ourselves in the mirror. Check yourself. And of course, this is an intentional thing. You have to be intentional, which is what we talked about in the first week. And the thing about this is that we all have blind spots. I've said this so many times before. We're all like vampires. When we look at ourselves in the mirror, we don't see anything. We're okay. And Jesus is saying, look, if you want to grow closer to the people around you, you need to talk to them about their issues. And we're going to get to that all next week. But he says, just be reflective. Reflect on yourself. What are we missing? What am I missing? If you go into a relationship or an argument or a discussion or anything saying, oh, I'm better than you and I'm perfect and you're not, Jesus is like, no, you probably have like 15. You got like a whole sheet of plywood sticking out of your eye and you're about to talk to them about their issues. He says, just reflect on yourself. And again, what this means in practical ways is just entering in conversations, entering into relationships and saying, yeah, I'm not perfect either. I absolutely will admit that. And, you know, that's the beauty of what makes the church, of us being just real. Yeah, you know what? Sean Fitch is an absolute sinner. And he sins regularly. He loses his temper. He gets upset about things that he doesn't like. He gets tired of people when they're obnoxious. He doesn't like it when people drive slow in front of him, but he doesn't like the speed because that's wrong. He doesn't like it. Like, there are all these things. I don't like when people wake me up in the morning. Like, I don't like my alarm. Like, whatever. Like, I know it's just maybe those are shallow, but there's legit sins in my life. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm saying, hey, I'm just as forgiven as you are. And I think we need to reflect if we're going to grow in our humility and our relationships. It's not saying that you're better than them. It's just reflecting and saying, yeah, I've got stuff in my eyes too. Maybe together we can go to the eye doctor and get the sawdust out. I know one, by the way, if you need an eye doctor. So then we need to be sensitive, be reflective. The third thing is we need to be honest. And this is pretty obvious, I think. But James says this in James chapter 5. He says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. James is saying, confess your sins to each other. And confess simply means to agree, to admit. Like when we talk about confession to God, and this isn't about confession to God, but just to understand the context, people are like, oh, I need to go confess my sins to God to let him know what I did wrong. You don't need to do that. God knows what you've done wrong. Confession isn't saying, hey, God, by the way, wanted to tell you about this thing. God knows that. Confession is you admitting that it is wrong, agreeing with God. And so it's the same thing here when it comes to confession to one another. We just admit, again, similar to the last thing, these all blend together, but admitting, yeah, I've got sin issues. I've got this issue. And maybe that's not standing up in front of the stage and announcing it to everybody, but maybe you have some close friends and maybe you need to develop some humility in that relationship by just admitting your sin. And let me tell you, because he says that you may be healed. Pray for each other, may be healed. This isn't necessarily like a supernatural, suddenly I'm not sick anymore. There's relational healing that happens in this. And I can tell you, and you guys have probably had these moments, probably, where if someone, maybe your kid, comes to you, you didn't know about this thing, and they say, hey, Dad, I broke the lamp. There is a whole nother level of, wow, thank you for being transparent. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for sharing that with me. And you might be a little bit upset about the lamp, but what happened? You know, why did the lamp break? But if it was the other way around, and you discovered the lamp, and you're like, what's wrong with that? And they're like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. Like, that just changes everything in the relationship. And maybe you've got friends, maybe it's your spouse, maybe some other brothers and sisters, and maybe it's your prime group. Just opening up and saying, hey, here's something that I've been struggling with. That is not, like, we assume that sharing the real things, if they're real people, we share real things, that's going to drive us apart. But when you're vulnerable, it actually brings people together. Because you're like, hey, and here's what you often will hear. Yeah, I've been there too. I get it. How can we help you? Or here's what I've learned. Or maybe we can come alongside of you. I remember as a youth pastor, I was a youth pastor for exactly a decade. And I remember I would have students come to me and, you know, hey, I need to tell you, like, I've been sleeping with my boyfriend. And I know that God says that's wrong. The Bible says that marriage, sex should only happen in the context of marriage. What do I do? And I'm like, I'm not going to go to your parent, but we need to talk to your parents about this. And I will go with them. Say, hey, I'm with you in this. Thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for being transparent. And when we together will come to the parents, it changes the vibe. Because there's something about being vulnerable. There's something about being transparent, about confessing your sins to each other that leads to healing. And again, this isn't flaunting our sins. This isn't us saying, well, let me tell you about all the ways that I've done wrong things. This is confession. This is a brokenness. This is a vulnerability. And there is vulnerability. Because when you're vulnerable in a relationship, you grow closer. That's why you are closer to the people that you're around way more than the person that's in the line behind you at the grocery store. It would be weird if you start opening up. If they started opening up to you, you'd be like, whoa, I did not sign up for this. Express checkout, please. I'll just wait in my car and have a handsome young fellow deliver my groceries to me. My son delivers. He works for Giant Direct. He delivers to people in the parking lot. But you know what I'm saying? So that this vulnerability, this confession is so incredible. If you want to grow closer to the people around you, be honest. Just be honest. You know, as the phrase goes, you know, your poop stinks too. Like, we all of our poop stinks. And we all poop. There's a book that my roommate had in college called Everybody Poops. Everyone Poops. Somebody got it for him. But if you're not sure about that, well, okay. If you're not sure that you do, you should quickly see a doctor. Like, leave right now. But everyone does. And it all stinks. We all sin. And this idea of confession just says, I'm vulnerable with you. I'm being honest with you. I recognize that. And that is going to grow relationships with one another. We talked about this in the breadcrumbs series, and that's also on the slide, years ago, about the idea of just confession and transparency with one another. I said all that. So be sensitive. Be reflective, be honest. And the fourth thing, 1, 2, 3, 4, I think I've got 5, yeah. The fourth thing is be responsible. And this one here, this is going to mess you up a little bit. If you're already familiar with this passage, maybe you should have been messed up already. But this is not very American, okay? This is not very capitalism kind of a passage. But if we're trying to grow in our humility with the people around us, the close relationships, it's going to require us to be responsible. And Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5. He says, so, he's talking to his Jewish audience, because that was the people he was talking to at the time. Jesus was Jewish. So, if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, so Jesus, in our context, he's saying, if you're getting ready to worship God, so, again, for us, if you're showing up to sit in your row in the worship experience, if you're getting ready to worship God and you suddenly remember, okay, oh wait, I just realized, and this is the messed up part, that someone has something, I don't know if you can see the underline there, something against you. Jesus says here, if you're getting ready to worship God and you realize that somebody has an issue with you, not if you have an issue with somebody else, that's not great either, that's kind of awkward, that's kind of hard to deal with. But Jesus is kind of taken to the next level. He's not saying, hey, if you've got an issue with somebody, please fix it. He says, no, if they have an issue with you, what does he say to do? Leave your sacrifice there at the altar. He says, stop worshiping right now. Leave it right there. And in this context, that sacrifice probably was alive because it hasn't been sacrificed yet. So it was probably a live animal. And so there's consequences here. You're going to leave it. And that animal might even run off. But Jesus says, you know what? It doesn't matter. Don't try to come and worship God when someone has an issue against you. Leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go right now. He's not saying wait till later. He's not saying next time you see them. He's not saying, hey, if they happen to message you on Facebook, if you see them in the store, if you happen to run into them, hey, maybe it's a sign. No, Jesus says, here's your sign. Go right now to them. And be reconciled to that person. you need to go. So if somebody has an issue against you, you're not upset with them, but you know they're upset with you. It is your job to be responsible. This is, again, not very American. Nope, that's not my problem, it's yours. That's your issue. Hey, when you get right, I'm right here waiting for your apology. Bring it on. And but Jesus says, no, you need to go and be reconciled to that person. Go to them. Then come and worship God. Then come and offer your sacrifice. So Jesus says it is more important that you are in good relationships with people. It's more important than worshiping God. That's pretty heavy stuff. But Jesus is saying it's our responsibility. We are the ones that need to make it work. We need to be the bigger person for the sake of the relationship. And again, we said this last week, when you talk about proximity, nothing ever is resolved on the fringes. If everyone goes to their own corner, if Mike Tyson, Jake Paul? Yeah, Jake Paul, go to their own two corners. Jake just had to wait it out. He probably would have fainted and passed out. He's old. But nothing is ever resolved in the corners. You've got to come together. And sometimes that's messy. Sometimes that's ugly. Sometimes it's awkward. But Jesus says, look, you need to do it. It's your responsibility. If they're not willing to come, you need to go to them. Because that's going to fix the relationship. It's going to grow the relationship. If you know that maybe you screwed up. Maybe it's going to require you to be sensitive. Maybe you're going to have to be honest. Maybe you're going to have to be reflective. But it's also our responsibility to fix the relationships. If you want to be the bigger person, it's going to help. Because if you just stand on the side saying, no, I'm going to wait, and they're going to wait, you're both going to die waiting and miss out on what you could have had if you just simply said, hey, I'm going to you, and I know you've got an issue. Are we okay? How can I help? How can I make this right? Have I done something that I need to confess? And that's going to grow you closer in your relationships. And can I just say, couples, spouses, like, take the moment. Because it's so easy to be like, I deserve. But that's not clothing yourself with humility. Jesus says it's your responsibility. Be responsible. If there's an issue, not that you have, maybe they have against you, you need to go to that person. And then finally, relational humility requires us to be submissive. To be willing to admit that you're not better. And this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 12. He says, because of the privilege and authority God has given to me, I give each of you this warning. This is a warning. Paul is warning followers of Jesus. Warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. What's that faith that God has given us? The moment that we say, look what I've done, look what I've earned, look what I've deserved, you have said, God, you've done nothing, and God is the one that's provided you with everything you have. So it says, don't think of yourself more that you're better than you are, more highly than you are. And if we're going to be in a healthy relationship, we want to grow closer, we need to be submissive. We need to say, you know what? You're right. You could say, you know what? I was wrong. You know what? I'm sorry. And can I just add a little Sean note here? Saying I'm sorry is different than saying I apologize. And I don't know why. But there's something about, like, if I apologize, it's like over here. I have apologized to you. Here is my official apology statement. But I'm sorry somehow is personal. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did that. I'm sorry that I acted that way. I'm sorry I hadn't called you. I'm sorry I didn't talk to you. I'm sorry. Because Paul says, don't think that you're better than you are. Be willing to admit. Be willing to be humble. Don't think that you're better than others. And here's the thing. When it comes to humility, are you willing to be humble enough to hear the hard things from those who care about you? And we're going to talk all about that next week. But it's going to come with our attitude. Because if you go in going, I'm right, I don't care what they think. I don't care what that person has to say. I'm right. Paul's like, no, warning. Don't think that you're better than you really are, because you're not. And as we'll see next week, we're going to do a little spoiler, a little teaser. Like, if a person comes to you and says, hey, you know, I've been checking myself. I think the plank is out of my eye. I'm not perfect, but I noticed a speck of sawdust in your eye. And you're like, who do you think you are? I have no speck of sawdust in my eye. And you blink, and it's like, you're like the bottom of a workshop. Like, I'm fine. And then they're like, okay, well, a couple other people come and say, hey, we noticed this speck in your eye. You're all wrong. And you're like shooting sawdust at them. They need respirators. No, you're wrong. And then more people, like, the point is, what's the main issue here? Are you willing to admit that the source of all of your problems is you? Or is it always everybody else around you? Because if that's the humility, if you cannot have that kind of humility in your relationships, you're not going to grow closer to people. And the things we're going to talk about next week are just irrelevant. You might as well just not show up. Go watch the Giants lose a football game. Even if they have, anyway. Stay focused. So relational humility requires these five things. To be sensitive. To say, hey, look, you know what? I get it. I don't want to accuse you because I could be in your same situation. I could fall just as easily. In the right circumstances, that could have happened to me. We need to be reflective and say, okay, I need to look at myself in the mirror, reflect on my own sin issues. And again, not saying that I have to be perfect or that we're ever going to be perfect, but reflect and say, okay, is there something in my eye that's really obvious before I start picking on other people? I'm going to go to the other people, but make sure I deal with myself. I need to be honest, admitting that, yeah, I sin. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Here's my issues. Let's just be vulnerable. Being responsible and saying, yeah, this isn't even my problem. It's your problem with me, but it's my job. It's my responsibility to go and work it out. And then finally, being submissive to say, you know what? I'm not any better than anyone else. And if you feel that there's an issue in my life that I need to deal with, then we need to be submissive to that and be humble and listen. Because growing closer in unity requires humility. We need to be clothed, wrapped in humility. And when we do that, and this seems so, it just feels so anti everything we've been taught. But when we put ourselves in that lower position, just watch what God can do in your relationships. And as we looked at last week, we have an example that didn't just, like, he was the ultimate example of humility. Left the glory of heaven to come to this stinky, sweaty, smelly, sin-soaked earth. And not just to be among us, but to die for us. And that's what Jesus did. And his example was humility. And if we want to grow closer to the people around us, it's going to require clothing ourselves, wrapping ourselves, encumbering ourselves with humility. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that this isn't just something we're told to figure out, but that you give us examples and you give us instructions on how we can demonstrate and we can grow in our humility. And God, I pray for each of us, even with that, the idea of being reflective, that we would look at our own lives. So we wouldn't just leave here going, yep, somebody better do something about that. But look at ourselves and our humility and really take stock on whether we're clothing ourselves, we're wrapping ourselves in humility, or maybe we just have a little piece of toilet paper on our hand when it's convenient. Help us to demonstrate humility in all of our relationships, so that we can grow closer to the people around us, so that we can grow closer to our spouses, so we can grow closer to our children, so we can grow closer to our parents, to our relatives, so we can grow closer to our friends, to our schoolmates, to our coworkers, to our neighbors. Let us demonstrate that humility so that we can watch you favor us, so that we can watch you lift us up at just the right time, so that we can watch you care for all of our worries. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.